Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to bridging the gap between adventure and adventurer by helping people select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Cities create noise, and that is why city governments have created noise ordinances as attempts to quell some of that noise, at least at certain times of the day and in certain areas. Tonight, Charlotte City Council is scheduled to vote on a new noise ordinance that is steeped in controversy. The ordinance proposes to create noise buffers and limits around schools, houses of worship, and healthcare facilities. It is controversial because one of those healthcare facilities is a preferred women's health center on Latrobe Drive. Those who protest there regularly say they are being targeted, but some on council retort that although those protests and the noise they create were certainly part of the reasoning behind the proposed noise ordinance changes, they weren't the only reason. So, prior to tonight's vote, we're going to hear from two city council members on opposite sides of this issue and from the city attorney. Mayor Pro Tem Democrat Julie Iselt, an at-large member of council, supports the changes. She's here in our Spirit Square studio. Welcome back.
Thank you, Mike.
Good to see you. She joins us here along with Republican from District 7, Councilman Ed Driggs, who does not support these ordinances. Welcome to you.
Good morning, Mike.
Welcome back. And Patrick Baker is the city attorney. He's in the middle of it all. He'll be there tonight. Welcome to you as well.
Good morning, Mike.
If you'd like to join our conversation, as many already have, over the weekend we were deluged with emails about this. You can email us at charlottetalks@wfae.org or search for WFAE on Facebook. Get to us through Twitter at Charlotte Talks. You can also watch us this morning on Facebook Live. So let me ask the two council people here, when did the impetus for this new noise ordinance present itself, and why? Was there a catalyst for this? I'll start with Julie.
Well, yes, there was. So I have been on council, I'm in my fourth year, and I started out in 2015 as the chair of the Community Safety Committee, and this was one of the first issues that were brought to light on Latrobe, and I was asked by people on both sides to go out and look at the situation.
Okay.
The first time, though, I have record, and I've gone back through all of our emails, that I have record that we were asked to take action had more to do with amplify. Well, at least the first time I responded to take action goes back to March of 2018, because most of our complaints come from the Uptown Entertainment District. And I went back and I shared with your producer emails that from residents in Uptown that complained about the allowance of amplified music, speech in Uptown public outdoor spaces. And so if you, that string of email shows where I said to the city manager, we are getting issues, complaints all over the city, including on Latrobe, and we've got to address this issue. I didn't hear anything back. He agreed, but no action was taken until, what I can tell, October of 2018, when CMPD came to the Public Safety Committee and said, look, we've got people complaining uptown, we've got people complaining on Latrobe, we've got people complaining about garbage trucks, about construction. This ordinance is outdated. It needs to be updated because we're playing referee.
Although people have been complaining about Latrobe for, as Julie says, for at least since she's been on council, for 4 years, Ed.
A decade.
You are opposed to these ordinances because of the fact, well, I don't want to put words in your mouth, you are opposed to, but your opposition has to do with Latrobe. Is that correct?
I believe we're trying to pretend this is not about Latrobe when it really is.
So what about all these other complaints?
Uptown, I think they're perfectly legitimate municipal ordinances. They should be treated in the ordinary course of business. But the reason we're on this show and the reason you got all those emails and we did is Latrobe. And for us to try to pretend that that's not what this is about is really to avoid an unpleasant reality that I think needs to be confronted.
Okay. Mayor Vial-Isles was on this program a couple of weeks ago, and this is what she had to say about this proposed noise ordinance.
This isn't just coming up now. I think it's the first time that we've had some time to pay attention to it. People probably don't remember, but I can remember Ed's Tavern on on, is it Park Road? Is that Park Road?
Yes.
But there's a Dilworth community, and I don't mean to call it out because I think there are lots of Ed's taverns all over. But as we're beginning to see the density of our neighborhoods increase and more housing coming into the inner city, and we also want to create a restaurant and an entertainment venue, sometimes those things don't quite work well together. So that was one of the examples that we had of people in inner city neighborhoods creating that density and noise. Some people call it music and some people call it noise.
So is she being coy here, Ed?
I think the discussion about La Trobe has been going on for years. There's been a lot of energy there. There have been a number of different proposals about how we address that. And now we get this other situation of the music and the other sounds. And so the thought was, let's combine these things and let's try to kind of just tuck this
in. Well, isn't noise noise?
Well, we can get back to whether or not there is actually a noise situation or a content situation at La Trobe. I would contend that it's about the content and not the sound pressure levels. The content is disturbing to people who go there, understandably. And what we're trying to do is kind of shelter them from having to deal with that. When I was there, I was able to carry on ordinary conversations with a lot of the bystanders, the officers who were there, at normal speaking levels. There wasn't a deafening amount of sound around. It was just that the sound was being generated in such a way that it was being heard by the people approaching the clinic, and it was upsetting to them.
Okay. We asked some folks from CMP to join us for this conversation, but they declined, saying that they would refer to the city attorney, Patrick Baker, who is here. But some city council members say that these proposed changes are, in part, a response to CMPD's request for a stricter ordinance. Is that correct, Patrick?
Yeah, it's my understanding when I first came here in March, I did start asking some questions about this. And obviously, I'm coming into this game about 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter, so to speak. But I did ask those questions in terms of what was the issue with the ordinance. I always caution councils before you go out and make changes, you need to make sure that the ordinance that you have has a real problem as opposed to you're focusing on micromanaging things. Because...
Well, I know you're late in the game. I know that you this has been going on for years and you just got here in the scheme of things. But when you look at today's ordinance, and I've got this piece of paper here that compares today's ordinance with what's under proposal here tonight. What's your take on it?
It's not unlike ordinances that I've seen of other communities, particularly communities that are bringing residents back into their downtowns. When you're bringing in multiple, different parties, entertainment districts, and then residents in those entertainment districts, and we had that in Durham as well, where we were making changes to those ordinances.
We're going
to
talk a lot about the free speech issue because that's what is that question on La Trobe Drive. But let's just focus on downtown for a second, because downtown at night, particularly when people are going to plays and concerts and things like that, there's a group that plays outside of the Blumenthal, this pickup band that plays music with tubas and trombones and trumpets outside the thing, and then we got a guy who in the daytime sets up an amplifier and plays saxophone. I got another guy who sings and plays guitar with amplified sound, and you got the Jesus Saves guy who walks up and down the street yelling, "Good news, Jesus saves." Some of that speech, some of that is not. Does it all fall under the free speech category? Can I play saxophone on Trade and Tryon, and does that fall under free speech?
Yeah, we've seen a lot of that, and a lot of it is going to be constitutionally protected speech.
Really? Saxophone is speech.
Yeah, I'm not saying. I'm saying generally speaking. All of that, in terms of playing music in the public square can be seen as a method of speech, particularly in those situations where you're trying to perform in a public square.
So I read some of these emails that you sent to our producer from people who were specifically addressing noise concerns downtown, Julie. And they're where are they coming from? Are they complaining because as they walk down the street they hear a saxophone? As they walk to work they hear the guy screaming "Jesus saves"? As they come out of the Blumenthal they're hearing this Dixieland band playing? Where are the complaints coming from uptown?
So the one that goes back to March of 2018, that gentleman and some of his co-workers, I believe.
This is one guy?
And some of his co-workers or his wife have said that it's not about people walking by on the street. And I've gotten calls from people at the Bank of America Tower. They have to use sound machines in their offices because of the amplified nature of the music. And they're asking to limit the permits for amplification. I think this guy had amplification from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. or something like that. And it's pretty much the whole business day. And so it's the people who are working in those buildings and that ambient sound generated from the amplified sound that they're concerned
about. So is the noise being generated and being complained about in these complaints that Julie has received, and maybe you have too, I don't know, Ed, is it louder, the same as, less so than the noise being created on Latrobe Drive? Do we have any way of knowing that?
An interesting thing about this, Mike, is the representatives of the hospitality and lodging industry and of the construction industry felt that they were not included in the process that led up to this. Mm-hmm. The first time they saw a draft of the changed ordinance was after the committee meeting that approved it and recommended it to full council. And in part, in fact, having gone to a couple of the public meetings and heard nothing other than abortion talk, they decided to stay out of it because they didn't want to get caught up in the middle of that. So that to me is an indication of the city's process trying to achieve one thing and wrapping it with other things. I think we should separate these issues. I think it's very clear that we have a lot of controversy around abortion and free speech on this one item, quiet zones around medical facilities, and then we have a lot of other stuff that needs to be worked out in the ordinary course of city business among the parties so that people in hotels aren't hearing booming bass in their rooms.
The problem with this thing, with the way this is written, it seems to me, create noise buffers within 200 feet of property lines of schools, houses of worship, and medical facilities during their service hours, is that the only medical facility probably that has any problem with this is the one on Latrobe Drive. So it pinpoints, does it not, exactly what the intent here is. Is that a problem? Is that a problem legally?
Yeah, it's my understanding that there have been noise complaints at other locations.
Even like Presbyterian Hospital?
I'm not sure which ones, but I did see some information from the police department in terms of noise complaints that have come from schools, from places of worship, and medical facilities as well. So
there are places of worship downtown as well. Do they complain about the noise downtown during their services on Sunday and
The information staff provided all of us with was that in 2018 there were 9,708 noise complaints called into CMPD. That breaks down to 57 noise complaints at houses of worship, 653 noise complaints at schools, and 483 noise complaints for medical facilities, and 1,432 noise complaints in entertainment venues. And that number, and I just want to point out, and it could be, because Mr. Driggs and I have had this conversation, and he has said that he thinks it's a new issue we haven't vetted long enough. I'm an at-large representative, so I get all of these complaints from all seven districts. Mr. Driggs is over District 7, which is Ballantyne. Ballantyne had 489 noise complaints last year out of 9,708. That's less than 5%. Mm-hmm. So by and large...
So as you go around the city, since you are at large, how do these complaints differ? What are they complaining about?
So one of the other issues that I have at three different locations, one of them Park Road Shopping Center, the apartments, the Kimberly behind there, and then another one... One of our planning director commissioners, and I don't know her apartment, but they send me emails about the garbage trucks that come in at 3 and 4 in the morning, to the commercial garbage trucks, not City of Charlotte, that come in to collect the commercial trash because it's the only way they can finish their routes.
Right.
And it's a game of cat and mouse that the neighbors call. They get out, they go away before CMPD gets there, and then they come back later.
We have to take a break. We'll come back and talk more about this and specifically about the Latrobe Drive situation in a moment. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that believe a car is used for more than just getting from place to place. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on Listener Funded, 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. Tonight, the City Council will meet. One of the things they'll be discussing is a proposed noise ordinance that, according to the wording in this document that I have, clarifies intent updated to state that it is unlawful to intentionally produce or intentionally participate in producing noise, and they create noise buffers within 200 feet of the property lines of schools, houses of worship, and medical facilities during service hours. Julie, you supplied us, as we've talked about already, Julie Geisel is here. She is a council member at large on City Council, one of the members voting tonight on this. Ed Driggs is here, Republican from District 7, and Patrick Baker, the Charlotte City Attorney, is also here. You supplied us with emails that complain about noise everywhere. Are the numbers of emails that you sent us and the complaints that they're talking about representative of what you've been receiving overall over the course of time?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't send you everything.
No, the reason I ask is you've got complaints here about construction noise.
Yeah.
God knows I have some complaints about that. You've got complaints about a guy downtown singing into a karaoke system on the street. You got noise at the square. You got noise at the shopping centers with garbage pickup. Only one was about this Preferred Health Center on Latrobe Drive. That's why I ask you if it's representative of the emails that you're getting.
Oh, the most emails I've gotten are from people that feel that their religious freedoms are being restricted with this noise ordinance and on Latrobe. But that said, what I've tried to answer is that the ordinance, if you read it, does not restrict freedom of speech, and it is not content specific.
But I think, Mike, to answer your question, we have had a blizzard of emails in the last few weeks in the run-up to this thing, clearly on one side or the other of the abortion issue. There's been a lot of noise specifically on that subject, and it's been pretty clear from the wording of the emails that they are motivated by conviction about abortion and not because of sound.
Right. Well, we were inundated with emails over the weekend because we chose to do a program about this, and I would say, I haven't read them all, but I would say the greatest portion of them come from people who are very concerned about limiting free speech on Latrobe Drive with the protest with regarding abortion. And there is a movement across the country to try to end Roe v. Wade, period, by doing it at the local and state level and circumventing the Supreme Court. Is that what this is?
It isn't.
Just another movement in that movement.
It is related to that movement. It has a lot of the emotion and the energy of that movement around it. The issue I have with this whole thing is we're trying to sidestep that. So we're trying to pass an ordinance saying this is just about sound and act as if it isn't about abortion. And you can't get away from the fact that it is. And it's about free speech and the First Amendment. So there are questions about whether or not people should be able to project their message in such a way that the ones that are supposed to hear it can hear it. It is not a pressure of sound that is harmful to your ears, that makes it impossible to carry on a conversation. If it weren't for this objectionable content to those people, I don't think this would be such a focus. But if you look at some of the other features of how this was done, 57 complaints from churches out of 9,708 complaints. Why are they included in the quiet zones? They are because that's part of what has been wrapped around this thing in order to deflect attention from this real issue, which is Latrobe.
But as the mayor said in that piece of tape that we played, some people call it music, some people call it noise. If somebody's playing saxophone on a street corner and it annoys you, that's objectionable content, is it not, Patrick?
Well, the issue is going to be, you know, what is the speech that's out there? And that's going to be a challenge, particularly if it is impacting the business where the sound is coming from. That could be the type of situation.
Well, if you're a healthcare clinic for women that does perform abortions, as is the case on Latrobe Drive, and this noise, whether it's people chanting at you, save the baby, to come to us and we'll help you, all, whatever they're chanting, whatever message they're projecting, which is obviously pro-life. If that is impacting your clients as they come and go from this healthcare facility, whether or not they are there to have an abortion, because they provide other services as well, don't you have a right to say, no, this needs to be tamped down?
Well, the issue is going to be the time, place, and manner restrictions that you can put out there. And one thing that I've said to each of the council members that have spoken to me about this is that this ordinance is, you can't by ordinance take the protest on Latrobe out. You simply can't move it to another location. There will be protest at Latrobe regardless of whether this ordinance is passed, mm-hmm. And when it's put out there. And governments have limited ability to do time, place, manner restrictions is the language of the constitutional cases that have come out. So there are some limitations that we can do, but you can't just simply say we don't like the content, therefore mm-hmm. there will not be any more protest anti-abortion protest out at La Trobe. That can't be done.
I'm not sure which one of you to ask this question. How does this new noise ordinance compare to the current one that's in place? What does it do? What powers does it have? How much stronger is it than the one that's currently in place? And if I am a noisemaker, no matter whether I'm protesting on the Trobe Drive or I have a bar that has an open air area at night and I have a live band out there and three doors down is a neighborhood, what does that prevent me from doing that I can do right now, this new ordinance?
So there are some there are a lot of technical features in it that amend some of the existing sound pressure levels and times in such a way as to kind of strike a new balance in those mm-hmm. uncontroversial areas. But specifically on this one, that 200 feet that you've mentioned a couple of times, I challenged that at our last meeting when we talked about this in full council. They went out and remeasured, and it's now proposed that we reduce that to 150 feet because it was determined that a speaker at 200 feet did not create any more than ambient sound. And that is the hasty fashion in which this is put together, and one of the reasons that it's perceived by the protesters as a slap at them. We haven't done our homework on this thing.
200 feet, if I've done the math right, and I'm doing it in my head right now, is about what? Half a football field, a little more?
A little more than half.
A little more than half a football field. If you have a loudspeaker at the 50-yard line, won't I hear it at the goal line?
But that's part of my point, which is I don't believe this solves anything, even at La Trobe. I think what it does is it stirs up a controversy.
But right now there are no buffers. There are none. You could be at the front door. Could you not?
Can't be on private property.
Be on the private property.
So if you're at the curb on a public street, And that's what, 10 feet away from the front door, 200 feet makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Well, if it's 150, you could put a big speaker up there and turn it up, and it's going to be very audible. So I don't know that it solves the problem, and my concern is that it simply exacerbates the confrontation, energizes a lot of opponents of abortion from out of town to come here, and does Charlotte really want to be in the middle of yet another?
They're all from out of town.
Well, what about that? What about that? I mean, if you can turn a loudspeaker up with 10,000 watts and you're 200 feet away, or if you can, if you can exceed the decibel limit by moving back to 205 feet and accomplish getting your message across to the front door of this place, what's the difference? Why do this at all?
Well, I mean, right now they're standing on the property line with bullhorns. So if this, you know, most of the emails that you probably got and that I got were about peaceful prayer. And I'm a person of faith. I absolutely believe in peaceful prayer, and I wouldn't do anything to restrict that, and this ordinance doesn't restrict that. I don't know that you need a bullhorn to get your prayers across.
Okay. I got this email last night, multiple-page email, with hard questions. They're labeled hard question number one, hard question number two. Here's hard question number three. And under each of these, there are several questions. Where is the substantial evidence of complaints from constituents and owners of schools and places of worship? And can you, Councilwoman, confirm any persistent complaints from Charlotte's primary medical facilities and hospitals over the past year?
So I'm not on the committee. But to Mr. Drigg's point, the committee started reviewing this ordinance back in October of 2018, so it does go back, or the committee received, I'm sorry, a preview of recent concerns relating to the noise ordinance in anticipation of potential committee referral back in May of 2018, so a year ago.
Why are you being targeted? You are the subject of all of these questions. Why are you being targeted?
Because I'm a pro-choice woman.
Okay.
But I have plenty of evidence to show that I have put the city's interests above my own on many different votes that I've taken in my time on council.
Okay, so another hard question, number seven. Does Councilmember Iselt feel that by supporting these changes that they are clearly targeted at pro-life, that she's representing all of her constituents?
Yes, I absolutely do. I believe in prayer. I believe in the right to freedom of speech. But again, I don't believe that you can use noise and freedom of speech at a 110 decibel level to harass people. If you were trying to do your show right here, Mike, and you had people that maybe didn't like Charlotte Squawk Saturday night, and they were out here protesting and yelling and banging drums and had amplified sound, you'd say, I can't conduct business. We have businesses on that street, and I think I shared those two that have written in that have said, our customers won't come on a Saturday. They had a psychiatric ward who had a patient run off into the woods because they were so traumatized. They're not going to that clinic. They're going to other businesses down the street.
I measured the sound. I went myself with an app on my phone, and I measured the sound. I told you, you can talk normally when you're there. And I held it up, and it was 70 to 80 decibels. The dogs barking at a kennel down the street when they were outside on their little recreation area were making the same amount of noise. It really is not just about volume. It is about, I mean, if you hear a baby cry, for example, or you hear, you know, certain sounds, they're grating and so on. It's about the kind of emotional response. And my issue is, I don't think, based on what the attorney said, that we're going to improve the situation. This is going to be a slap, or perceived as a slap, at the pro-life people, and it will not improve the situation at La Trobe. And in answer to your other question, Mike, I asked in committee, have we had complaints from the major health systems? And the answer was no.
Okay. The police have also said they need help, that the current ordinances are a little vague. And one of the hard questions that this person sent us was, is this CMPD job really made easier with a definition this vague and subjective? Evidently, he feels that the way this new ordinance is written, it is also vague. What is your take on that, Patrick Baker?
Well, one thing that I've seen in communities that have implemented a buffer zone is that they were trying to get more objective standards than the subjective standards. I think most every community has the unreasonably loud and disturbing standard, which can be seen as very subjective, but it's been upheld by the courts. Now, Charlotte has always had that that unreasonably loud and disturbing, and it's been added. I think it's been pushed up a little bit in this particular noise ordinance.
Well, you can measure sound, as Ed did with his app on his phone, and you can bring in professionals with professional equipment to measure sound. The police department could have equipment to measure. Right now, today, if I hold a party in my backyard and turn my speakers up really loud, and I got 50 people in the backyard singing and dancing and screaming, and my next-door neighbors are trying to sleep because it's 2 o'clock on a Monday night, when the police come out, how do they know it's too loud?
So
do they know? Who makes that decision?
So prior to the changes, they would have two ways of going. The objective way would be to have a decibel reading. And if you
they have equipment for that.
They mm-hmm. Yes, they have sound equipment.
And where in the ordinance that exists today does it say if you exceed X number of decibels, you're in violation?
That I don't have the actual ordinance.
The number
in front
is 70.
It does.
There is one.
Here's
around,
the number. There is
around
number.
Residences. Okay, around residences, there is an ordinance. It relates to lawn mowing and things like that. Right. But it says you may not exceed 70 decibels.
So it does exist right
that
now.
That exists. But your point is correct. There is an arbitrariness to the reasonable standard that gives a lot of latitude. And this comes much more sharply into focus due to the steep escalation of the fines that are being proposed. If you look at the section on the fines, you'll see that we're going up now to $500 to $1,000. Mm-hmm. So they're putting a lot more clout behind those fines, which means this question of when do we call it too loud and when we don't and who gets to make that decision is more important.
How does that differ? If we have 70 decibels today and it kicks in at certain times of the day, you're not supposed to mow your lawn on Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. You have to wait till what, 8?
Yeah.
I wish you'd wait till 9, quite honestly. if we have that now, how does the new ordinance, what does the new ordinance specify in terms of decibels and times of day?
Well, I'm not sure how many changes have occurred with the decibels and the times of day. I mean, a lot of that is still incorporated and will still be the same in terms of like lawn mowing and things like that. We've addressed things on the entertainment districts and obviously the buffer zones and then the construction noise. And most of that is being occurring in the morning and the frequency of the construction. And those are new additions to the current ordinance.
Because the new ordinance says that the buffer zones have to apply when school's in session, when church services are being held, when health facilities are open. A lot of the noise, as you've mentioned, comes from construction vehicles going beep, 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 beep all day long, because you have to have a beeper on the thing, so when it backs up, people will know it's backing up. So they're trying to comply with that law while they're trying to comply with the noise ordinance law. It's really annoying. You've got trash trucks that come in early in the morning because they have to complete their routes to pick up recycling and garbage. You have leaf blowers and lawn mowers and all this noise that happens in a suburban area and in a city. How does this ordinance, this new ordinance, deal with all of that? How does it change all of that?
The fine structure really was in relation to the construction and the garbage, because, frankly, $50 fine is a cost of doing business for them. They're not going to stop a construction project because of it. And the feeling by CMPD, and again, CMPD reviewed this ordinance, so they had somebody that was part of the structuring of this ordinance. I had nothing to do with it. I'm not even on the committee, but as you know, I was asked to be here, and I know why. it started in public safety, which I chaired, and so I felt strongly that we can't lose the idea that this, of course it's about Latrobe. That's been the biggest noise problem we have had in this city for probably the past 10 years. Last year alone, CMPD spent 1,982 hours at Latrobe. We need them somewhere else. CDOT spent 75 hours at Latrobe.
Well, you're making the case that this is about Latrobe.
Well, it's a big part of it, absolutely. But we didn't take any action until this did not get referred into committee until we started getting a volume of emails from other parts of town, and it was the entertainment district that made the police department come forward and say, look, we cannot play referee out there.
Yeah, but you're saying that most of the complaints, most of the police man hours that are being expended on these noise complaints are happening at Latrobe.
The man hours, I don't know the number of complaints on Latrobe, but if you've got a situation, we can think of any sort of situation. When we had one kid killed on a bicycle on a sidewalk because the sidewalk's next to the street, we started talking about the sidewalk.
But are police spending man hours on Latrobe because of the noise or because of concerns about safety of the women coming to and from that facility and concerns about the psychological impact of hearing all that while they're making a very difficult decision in their own personal lives?
I think it's all wrapped up together. Yeah.
Should it be? Or should it be separated
out? The only thing we can't do anything. I mean, protest and picketing is allowed. That's legal. That is First Amendment rights. The noise ordinance is a different issue, and that's all we're addressing here.
Okay, we have to take a break. We'll come back and talk more about that, because this is the sticky wicket of it all. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about the proposed noise ordinance, which is scheduled to come up for a vote tonight at City Council. City Councilman Ed Driggs, Republican from District 7, is with us. He opposes this noise ordinance because of his concerns that it targets the protesters on Latrobe Drive, which is where a preferred women's health clinic is located. And for years, people have demonstrated their pro-life positions close to that facility. Julie Eisholt is here. She's a Democrat. She's mayor pro tem, and she's also a city council person at large. She favors the noise ordinances. And Patrick Baker is the Charlotte city attorney. We are running an informal, non-scientific poll on Twitter this morning asking two questions, and the results are very close on both. In general, question number one, in general, do you support updates to the city's noise ordinance to help enforcement of loud noises from construction, entertainment venues, etc.? 54% say no. 46% say yes. Do you think the city's noise ordinance should be updated to include a noise buffer around medical facilities, such as clinics that provide abortions? 55% say no. 45% say yes. Now, I will say this, given the deluge of emails we've received on this from people who are pro-life, that's probably tilting those results a little bit, but I don't know how much. Beth emails, the passage of this revised noise ordinance is so important. Of course, I'm for the right to raise our voices in protest, but I'm also for the rights of citizens to not be harassed when visiting businesses and doctor's office. There must be a balance, and it is the obligation of Charlotte City Council to quantify and direct CMPD to enforce that balance. James emails, the last ordinance took 16 months to write, and the committee listened to noise levels, experts, and held a citizen forum. This committee changed three times, and three of the five members who voted it through to council only attended one meeting. Did this committee ever listen to noise at different levels to see how it would impact different uses, such as residential life? Did it?
No.
You're saying
no? No. I mean, I was one of the ones that joined it late. The first time I heard about any of this was I was presented with the draft that was a legacy from the earlier committee and did not have the opportunity. And that's part of the problem, the due process issue. I mean, I look at things like the complaints about the police presence there. When we had the uprising after Keith Lamont Scott, we spent $4.5 million restoring and maintaining order. And everybody recognized that that was a manifestation of our democracy, and nobody complained about the money. We were all very focused on the underlying issue. I think to try to make this about resource commitment is a mistake, because in democracy, sometimes you have to spend some money.
Let me ask you this. I mean, you're opposed to this because this noise ordinance, you believe, Ed, that this noise ordinance cloaks tamping down of a right to protest within a noise ordinance that really has nothing to do with it, because you say you've been out there and you've measured the decibel levels and they're not objectionable. You can hold a conversation while these people are saying their piece to the people coming and going. Would you be in favor of separating it out and changing the noise ordinance so that uptown concerns can be addressed and neighborhood concerns about lawnmowers can be addressed, and then have some sort of new restriction, a buffer that controls not noise, but how close you can be to that facility with your demonstrations?
I proposed that at the committee meeting, and everybody in the room laughed because it was so obviously not what this was about. I did suggest exactly that. I said, let's separate these issues. Let's recognize abortion and First Amendment are very different topics from construction. And there was laughter in the room.
Julie?
I have a question. If it is not our job to regulate morality and religious beliefs, so why are we talking about that, separating it? Is it because we're treating it differently?
That wouldn't be about morality. That would be about if somebody was protesting this program every single day because they don't like free speech,
Yeah. They
have a right to do that.
Right.
But we have a right as a business, as a radio station, to say, okay, but you need to be across the street because we can hear you in the studio.
Right.
We don't mind hearing you on the street, but not during this program.
But isn't that what we're saying? So why are we separating it out if not to treat religious content and morality differently?
I don't know that it has anything to do with religious content. It has to do with people feeling uncomfortable as they come and go from this facility. If you're a woman going in for birth control, or you're going in for other kinds of health issues, or you're going in for an abortion, and you're presented with people who are making you nervous and you know, it would make them nervous.
Right.
You're liable not to go. You're liable not to seek medical help, or you're scared while you're getting it. If you move the buffer back and just move them back so they're not in your face, doesn't that solve the problem?
They can be in the buffer. They just can't have amplified sound in the buffer. They can protest in the buffer.
Okay, Patrick. In 2017, Cities for Life, that's a group described by its director, Daniel Parks, as a sidewalk counseling ministry, filed a lawsuit alleging that Charlotte was violating their First Amendment rights when they proposed a ban on parking on Latrobe Drive, which is where the clinic is located. Parks cites that parking ban as evidence his group is being targeted. Was that suit successful?
I think that suit is still going on, so I can't speak to that.
Former Mayor Jennifer Roberts declared it one of her priorities to solve the problem. That's a quote on the clinic on Latrobe Drive, and she offered four ways to address the issue. Those parking changes were an outgrowth of that, among other things. Could that be why people are suspicious of these proposed noise ordinances as being targeting their demonstrations? I mean, why don't we just face this head on?
Well, I think we're facing what we can, and it's about noise.
Why?
Why are we facing it?
Is it about noise?
this ordinance is about noise. If you read it, all it does is restrict noise.
What did the people at the clinic, who run the clinic, say?
They would tell you this doesn't go far enough, and that's not our business. We cannot regulate the underlying issue. We don't have the authority to do that.
So let's talk about what goes on there. This goes on a daily basis, am I right? These demonstrations?
It's different on a Saturday.
Right.
When there's a large gathering of people who
pray
and so
on. How large is large?
I think there, if I had to guess, 200.
Okay.
Oh, on a Saturday, there can be 3,000 on a special day.
And how close are they to the actual clinic and the parking facility for that clinic? And how close are they to people as they drive in to that clinic or however they get there? How close are they to the? How do they interface with those people?
They're standing on the sidewalk.
So you have to pass through them to get to the clinic?
Yes, often.
Well, you have to pass by them. They're on the sidewalk. You're in your car on a wide road. You have to drive along with them.
And their sound, their prayers are amplified in what way?
The protest group owns the property next to the clinic. So they've set up a speaker there that they use to address the protesters. Then they do a kind of a march all the way around the Latrobe Circle. And then they are assembled. The problem, too, is there are two large groups, and then there are a whole bunch of others. And so, to a certain extent, these large numbers of people are being tarred with the brush of the behavior.
So it's very difficult to represent what that feels and sounds like on the radio. You kind of have to be there to understand the sound. And if you want to measure it with your decibel meter, you can. But we have a montage of what you might hear as you walk into that clinic, the Preferred Women's Health Center. Let's listen to that.
Whether or not you're here to have your son or your daughter put to death in the shadows, you need to know that price not to pay is stop by, not shame this world.
At 18 days, the baby already has a heartbeat.
We celebrate your heartbeat.
Now that's just a mere 25 seconds. How long does this go on? All day, every day?
During the hours of the clinic, again, the Saturday is a bigger event. If you go during the week,
so
the presence is much smaller.
You were there. Is that representative of what it feels like, sounds like?
Because I joined the committee late, I only had a limited number of opportunities to go and experience it firsthand, but that was pretty typical.
Typical.
Did you go out as an elected official?
I went out without identifying myself and walked around for a while. And when I'd been there for a while, I then went and spoke to the leaders of a couple of the groups and the officers who were there.
Mm-hmm. So if you're a CMPD officer, Patrick, and that's what you hear when you get out there, and you're standing there for 30 minutes and it goes on, you stand there for an hour and it continues to go on, you stand there for 3 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, and it continues to go on, is that a nuisance? Under the current ordinance?
Under the current ordinance, the argument could be that it's unreasonably loud and disturbing for the time and place
How about maddening? I don't care whether they're protesting or they're singing Ain't No Mountain High Enough. I'm serious.
So,
how maddening would that be? Stop it already. Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, I mean, that you're using the word maddening, and the language is unreasonably loud and disturbing, and that's
okay. So it doesn't matter if it's maddening.
Exactly, okay. Exactly.
Yeah. Some of that sound is amplified. Why do protesters or demonstrators in this case, because they're not necessarily protesting, they're praying, some of them. Why do they feel it's necessary to use amplification to preach? Why don't they just hold their signs and hand out literature to convince these women that their way is the right way and they're trying to take them down the right path?
For part of the time, the leaders of the protest want to be able to speak to the large number of people who are there, and they have a PA system for that. It's pointed away from the building towards where the protesters are.
You know, we've done a show on this Latrobe Drive situation, and I've never asked this question, so I'm going to ask it now. How many women go there on a daily basis? How many people do they see on a daily basis? And how outnumbered are they by the number of demonstrators on the sidewalk?
I have no idea. It's a private business. I have no idea.
I mean, if there are 200 to 1,000 people there protesting,
yeah.
Are there 20 women who come there on a Saturday? Are there 10? Are there 150? Do we have any idea at all?
I don't know. Again, we
matter?
Don't get involved with the private business.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Okay.
Well, let me also mention the amplified noise. When you go out there and you've seen it at 70, I've been standing next to an officer when it's at 110. They turn it up, they turn it down as soon as the officer comes or leaves. That's why we need the man hours out there, because they can't, as soon as they go away, it gets turned up again. And when I've been out there, and I'll admit it's terrifying, they've put my license plate on the internet. It's not a comfortable thing if you are.
So this is a free, this technically is a free speech issue, is that correct? At what point does your inherent American right to speak your mind publicly come up against the infringement of the rights of others to go about their business peaceably?
Well, this gets back to the time, place, manner restrictions. There's really, when we talk about free speech, it's never been unbridled. You've never had the ability to just do what you want. In fact, in every council meeting, you know, when we give people the opportunity to speak, we give them 3 minutes. Sometimes we give them 2 minutes. And you don't have the unbridled right to just walk into a council meeting and talk forever. You do have those limitations on your right to speech. There is a balancing test, and this is where it gets troublesome, is to try to find that right balance.
Several speakers spoke out at a recent council meeting against the ordinance, among them Father Peter Essek. I think that's how you say his name. His is a good summation. This is a long piece of tape, but his is a good summation of those who are concerned about this ordinance being a means to silence abortion demonstrators. Let's listen to that.
Good evening, Mayor Lyles, members of the council. My name is Father Peter Essek. I serve at St. Matthew Catholic Church in Charlotte, and I am here to also express my concerns about the proposed changes to the city's sound ordinance. Part of my ministry involves prayer and outreach on the public sidewalk in front of abortion clinics. We seek to reach out to the women and men who go there and offer them a better choice, help them to find a better choice than abortion. Now, our ability to offer help depends on the basic right to free speech. And this free speech is threatened by the proposed changes to the sound ordinance. The language of the statute is very vague. It prohibits loud or disturbing noises, but gives us no objective definition of these adjectives. Who, after all, will get to decide whether a noise is loud or disturbing? Will every police officer be forced to be the judge here? Or will the complaint of those who are disturbed, even by the sight of pro-lifers, be allowed to determine what we can say? There are those who oppose our efforts to help. For them, they do not want any type of discussion or debate. They simply want us silenced. And unfortunately, the proposed ordinance, with its vagueness, seems to simply offer them a tool to silence us. Now, many women who have heard our outreach efforts have accepted our offers of help on the sidewalk and have even thanked us for our presence and outreach. Their response demonstrates that many who come to these clinics do not find our presence on the sidewalk offering help loud or disturbing. They do not share the opinion that this speech is problematic and should be suppressed. If this ordinance is passed, I am concerned that it will become a de facto weapon to suppress the free speech of one side of this difficult debate, and it will deprive many women in need of a life-saving message. I urge the council to vote against it.
Was he right about the facts in what he said in terms of this ordinance not providing any objective measurement?
I think what he's talking about there, and I have met with Father Essek, I mm-hmm. believe that's how you pronounce his name. I think what he was talking about there was the issue of unreasonably loud and disturbing, and how that can be used subjectively to address their
issues. So in your view, would this ordinance silence abortion protesters and silence free speech, or merely turn down the volume?
The buffer zone is the part that would at least turn down the volume or push the volume out.
And does that go up against the right of free speech to turn down the volume?
Well, that's going to be the balancing test, and that would be the other side of the case.
Your job is to advise council,
yes,
Patrick. So if this ordinance passes tonight, and it likely will because its council is mostly Democrats, is this likely to be challenged in court? Will free speech be the basis, and how likely will it be any court would uphold it?
I have told my bosses that you should expect a lawsuit, and it will be based on free speech. There haven't been cases in the Fourth Circuit that really have addressed the buffer zone.
How costly will it be to the city to defend this ordinance?
It's hard to say. At this stage, I would expect that it would be done by the attorneys that are already on staff with the city.
Patrick Baker is the city attorney. Ed Driggs is a Republican on City Council District 7. Julie Osselt, Mayor Pro Tem, Democrat, City Council at Large. Thank you all for the hour. Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to helping customers select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.